This is your life, episode number 12.
This is your life. Are you who you wanna be?
Hello and welcome to another episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. Hey, in this episode, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, the five marks of authentic leadership. You know, almost everybody I know defines leadership as influence. And while I think that's an important characteristic, I don't think that's the only mark. So we'll unpack that in the next few minutes. But first, this podcast is brought to you by Dynamic Communicators International, producers of the SCORE, Launch, and Platform conferences. These unique events are designed for professional speakers and those who simply want to communicate more professionally. So if you've been thinking about taking your speaking or your communication to the next level, check out the website at dynamiccommunicators.com. Well, in the last few weeks, I've done several interviews. I've been at the Chick-fil-A LeaderCast, I've been at Catalyst in Dallas, and I've started to do some interviews for my new book, Platform, Get Noticed in a Noisy World. And I guess because I write a blog on leadership, I'm inevitably asked, what is leadership? And as I said in the show opening, most of the leadership experts I know define leadership as influence, as though that were the sum total of the topic. And while I do agree that that's an important component, I don't think it's the only one. I think there are actually five marks or five characteristics of leadership, and I'd like to take those just one at a time. First of all, let me just say that authentic leaders, as I've noticed, have insight. Now, sometimes we think of this as a vision about the future because a leader has to be a visionary, right? I think it's more than that. And it's not just exclusive reference to the future. Some people have the gift of being able to kind of foresee things before others see them. Others struggle more with it. I don't think it's really a component of effective leadership as much as it is about wisdom or judgment or discernment. So when I talk about authentic leaders have insight, that's really what I mean. For example, one of my first coaches, Daniel Harkavy at buildingchampions.com. That's a coaching firm. I used him for years. He was my personal executive coach for about 4 years. But Daniel was one of those guys that could listen to me talk on the phone and just kind of immediately zero in on what the issue was, what the hard issue was, what I was struggling with my own life or what I was struggling with in the business. But he was a guy that I think had insight. He had that kind of wisdom and discernment that, frankly, only comes from making enough mistakes and enough failures that you gain the experience to build the wisdom and discernment that you need. Another person that I met through the years that was very helpful to me, another coach, was a guy named Dan Mube, who is now the CEO of another company, but at the time he was working for Building Champions. Dan was also extraordinary at this, just a great listener. But then he would offer me that nugget of insight, that kind of game-changing piece of wisdom that really would help me take my life or my business to the next level. So they were great examples of leaders who I think have insight. They're able to look at complex situations, gain clarity, and then determine a course of action. And so as you think about your own leadership, I would encourage you to think about this idea of insight. How can you be more insightful? How can you gain more wisdom? How can you put a bigger premium on discernment? In the Bible, there's a verse in 1 Chronicles 12:32 that I really like. It says, "The men of Issachar understood the times and knew what Israel should do." And that's what I mean by insight. They could look at the context, look at the situation, and then discern what they were to do. So the first mark of authentic leadership is insight. Second mark, authentic leaders demonstrate initiative. You know, they go first. They're not waiting or sitting on the sidelines. They're not sitting in a sea of spectators. And man, we have an entire nation today, maybe an entire world, but an entire nation of spectators, people who don't take initiative. They're just content to be passive, to sit on the couch, to let somebody else do it. Well, that's the opposite of leadership, because leaders take initiative. They don't ask others to do what they're unwilling to do for themselves. This is so important. I remember when I was in college, I had this sales job, And so I went to the training, I think it was like on a Saturday, and the leader, the guy that was our sales manager, came in and he provided essentially what was a workshop, and it lasted most of the morning on Saturday. Frankly, it was really good. I mean, he had some great handouts, some great techniques. We walked through all the possible objections. And then he said, I'm going to take you guys out to a neighborhood a little bit later and let you actually practice what you've learned because, you know, it's time to do it. So, you know, we were a little scared, but I said to him just in passing, I said, great. So you're going to go with us, right? I was just kind of kidding. Obviously, he was going to go with us, right? I mean, that's what leaders do. I mean, he got white as a sheet, looked at me and said, oh, no, I'm not going to go with you. And I said, what do you mean you're not going to go with us? I mean, really? And he said, no. And then he admitted, and I don't remember exactly what he said, but he admitted he had never been out actually selling. For him, it was totally theory. He had never taken the initiative. And again, that's what I think distinguishes leaders from mere theoreticians or armchair quarterbacks. Another great example is Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore. Great example of this, famously depicted by Mel Gibson in the movie We Were Soldiers. I don't know if you've seen that movie. It's one of my favorite movies at all time. But Lieutenant Moore gets his troops together, and before they deploy for Vietnam, he has this speech. If you've seen the movie, you remember it. It takes place in a stadium. And here's what Lieutenant Moore said, or Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore said to his troops. He said, quote, we're going into battle against a tough and determined enemy. I can't promise you that I will bring you all home alive, but this I swear before you and before Almighty God, that when we go into battle, I will be the first to set foot on the field and I'll be the last to step off. And I will leave no one behind, dead or alive. We will all come home together. So help me God. I mean, just reciting that, frankly, gives me chills because it was such a moment in the film. And then in the cinematography of that film, when his helicopter approaches the field, you see Lieutenant Colonel Moore, Mel Gibson's foot, come out of the helicopter, and his foot is, in fact, the first foot to hit the battlefield. And then at the end of the battle, this horrific battle where there were innumerable casualties, Mel Gibson's foot, Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore, his foot is the last to come off the field as he boards the helicopter to go back to the base camp. But that's what leaders do. They take initiative. They go first. So in your own leadership, think about it. Where do you need to take initiative? Where do you need to go first? And I like to think of it in terms of giving other people the gift of going second. That's not the original with me, but it's a great thing as a leader to aspire to be the first to take the initiative, to start the conversation, to do the difficult thing, to do the thing that's not easy to do, to set the pace, because people are going to emulate our lives. And if we're not willing to do the hard work, if we're not willing to do the difficult thing, to speak the unspeakable, to do the task that nobody else wants to do, then nobody's going to follow. I mean, initiative is a core component of leadership. But there is a third mark, a third characteristic, and let's do call it influence. Yes, it's one of the marks of authentic leadership. It's no coincidence that influence and influenza come from the same root word. It's the same word we get the flu because, you know, if you're influential, you're contagious. If you have influenza, the flu, you're also contagious, but in a different way. So real leaders are contagious. People catch what they have. People are drawn to their vision, their values, and they're able to gain a following and move people to act. Or to change metaphors, people who are leaders are like human wave pools. They create a ripple effect wherever they go. And I think we've got to get this as leaders that we are constantly influencing people. You know, we may be influencing them for good, hopefully, but sometimes we can influence them for bad. I remember a guy that I used to work for in a previous job who was influential, but not in the way he wanted to be because he really had, frankly, some bad behavior. He had, and I'm not talking about immoral behavior, but he just was incredibly unproductive, always late to meetings. He was the kind of guy that would speak up and cut others off, not giving them a chance to finish their sentences. And he just had some bad behavior. Well, guess what happened? He was influential, but influential in the wrong way. The people that were under him picked up on that and created a whole culture that replicated itself throughout the organization. And I eventually became his boss and ended up firing him because he was such a toxic influence in our culture. A couple of people, though, that I think that really exert positive influence. One is my friend Robert Smith, who's Andy Andrews' manager. Robert's the kind of guy that walks into a room and immediately everyone notices. And not because he's loud or boisterous. He's just got that thing. He's just got that influence. And he's able to persuade people to his point of view, to encourage people. Thankfully, Robert uses this to a very positive end. He's one of the most positive people I know also. In fact, put him together with my wife. You've got the two most positive people that I know. Robert's the kind of guy that's influential for good, and he is a human wave pool. So that's the third characteristic. Authentic leaders exert influence. But authentic leaders also have impact. And that's the fourth characteristic of authentic leaders. At the end of the day, leaders make a difference. The world is changed because of their leadership. If you don't want to make a difference, don't hire a leader. If you're happy with the status quo, don't hire a leader. You bring in a leader when you want to shift something and you want to make a difference. And so leaders are able to do this, to create impact, to create real and lasting change. And until something has shifted, they haven't been leading. They're only entertainers. And boy, there is a huge difference. The measure of leadership can't be found in the leader. It's found in the impact they have on their followers. Great example of this, of course, Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela, Joshua Chamberlain, who was a Union Army officer in the Civil War, who basically single-handedly turned the tide at Gettysburg and enabled the Union Army to win that war when he charged the Confederates without ammunition in sort of the final volley that saved Gettysburg. So an amazing story, but he had an impact, an enormous impact. And in fact, Andy Andrews does talk about him in a couple of different books that he's written, but about how his action rippled through time. And because of that, the Union was saved. And later on, sort of like the butterfly effect, because of that, the United States held together. It didn't break apart into these separate republics. So that when Adolf Hitler rose in Europe in the 1930s and then in the 40s, there was a nation that was able to stand up to Hitler and was able to turn the tide. So Joshua Chamberlain was one of those people who had an enormous, enormous impact, not only in his own time, but into eternity. Authentic leaders also exercise integrity. You know, not every leader is benevolent. Adolf Hitler was a leader. So was Mao Zedong. So was Joseph Stalin. They had insight. They had initiative. They had influence and they had impact, yet their lives were not integrated with the highest values. And that's the key thing I want to point out here. Their integrity was lacking. And here's how I define integrity. And I actually got this from Stephen Covey. Integrity is the ability to make your actions line up with your words. In other words, if you give your word to something and tell people that you're going to do something, a leader makes his actions line up with his word. He keeps his word. Are you keeping your word? Am I keeping my word? I had a great example of this early in my career when a boss of mine promised me that if I would work hard in the first 90 days of this new job, that I would get a raise because I think at the time I wanted to come into the job and make $30,000 a year, which at the time seemed like a lot of money, but frankly, I needed that much to support my family. And he said, well, I can't pay you $30,000 initially because you don't really have any experience, which was true. But he said, I'll pay you $27,000. And if you work hard for 90 days, at the end of that period, we'll review it. And if you've done a great job, I'll give you the additional $3,000. And that way we both win. So I took a deep breath and I said, fine. So, I mean, I worked my tail off over the next 90 days. I got into work early. I didn't leave until late. And I did that for 90 days because I really wanted to move the needle and make a difference and be noticed by my boss so I could get this raise because I really, really needed it. But at the end of 90 days, he calls me into his office and he said, Mike, look, I know I told you that if you worked hard and did a great job that I would give you this raise. But what I didn't anticipate and what's happened is the parent corporation of the company that owns us has created a salary freeze or instituted a salary freeze through the entire organization. It affects our company and I can't give you a raise. And I said to him, I said, but we agreed to that before there was a salary freeze in place. So won't they honor that? And he said, I'm afraid not. I'm really, really, really sorry. So I was downcast. You know, I was discouraged by that, but I went back to my office and I thought, you know, what am I going to do? I'm just going to keep working hard and hope that it all works out in the end. Well, the very next morning, he calls me to his office again and he said, Mike, man, he said, I could hardly sleep last night. This has really troubled me because at the end of the day, I gave you my word, not the company, and I'm going to make good on my word. I want to be the kind of man that keeps his word. And he handed me a check for $3,000 and he said, you can't refuse this. I know your tendency is going to be to do that, but you've got to take it. I insist it was my word and I've got to fulfill on that. I'm going to tell you, that had an enormous, enormous impact on me. That demonstrated for me in crystal clear color what it looks like to act with integrity. And by the way, Stephen Covey defines honesty as the exact opposite, which is making your words line up with your actions. So you don't exaggerate what happened. You don't distort what happened. You simply tell the truth. So honesty and integrity are like two sides of the same coin. And really leaders have both. But what I want to say is they have an integrated personality. There's an integration between their words and their actions so that they have both integrity and they have honesty. The question is, do we? I mean, we live in a world where people are so quick, it's so easy for them to break their word and they think nothing of it. I had this happen a few weeks ago where a guy that we had hired to work with us on the marketing campaign for my new book platform just decided he didn't want to do it anymore. And he essentially walked off the field, even though he had a contract, and true, he hadn't signed it, but he had agreed to handle this aspect of our promotion and just quit. And it was very discouraging to me at the time, but it was a little disillusioning, frankly. I guarantee he didn't earn any points with me. I would never recommend him, all because he lacked integrity. And frankly, he had all those other things. He had enormous insight, wisdom. He had great initiative. He had influence and he had demonstrated impact. He had been successful in the past, but in my view, he didn't have the one thing that is kind of foundational, the one thing that really is the ultimate mark of leadership. And if you don't have this, you really can't claim to be an authentic leader, and that is integrity. So again, the five marks or characteristics of leadership: insight, initiative, influence, impact, and integrity. Do these attributes mark your leadership? Do these attributes mark my leadership? I mean, just going back through this again is a great opportunity for me to look in the mirror and say, what about my own leadership? Well, where can you improve? Look, if you've got an answer to that, if you'd like to discuss that further, if you've got a comment, let me just encourage you to go to my blog at michaelhyatt.com and comment on this episode. You'll see the show notes there. And then below that is a real handy dandy discussion section where there's really some lively discussion around the topics I blog on and on my podcast. So please go do that. So let's transition to listener questions. I've got more questions in this episode than I could possibly fit in. I probably had 15 or 20 questions called in on my voicemail. So I'm sorry. I'm apologizing in advance if I don't get your question in. But I took the five ones that I thought were the best of all the ones that were submitted. And so the first one comes from Carrie Jones.
Hi, Michael. My name is Carrie Jones, and I blog at coffeeandcarrie.blogspot.com. I'm an elder at my local church, Southridge Community Church, southridge.cc. And I am a big believer in authenticity. I want to get better at authenticity, especially authenticity in leadership. And I guess my question would be, is there ever a time that authenticity disqualifies you from leadership? Okay, looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
Carrie, it's a really good question. And when I'm talking about authentic leadership, I'm not talking about the need to disclose everything. I'm talking about really transparency, that you do disclose part of your life. You do disclose the things that you think will be helpful and edifying to other people, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you disclose everything at the time you're going through it. I mean, you've got to have some discretion here. First of all, not everybody will respect that. Not everybody will handle it with the same care that you deliver it. And so you've got to be discerning about this. I mean, there are people that are in my inner circle that I share my struggles with, and I'm very, very transparent with them. But I'm not just going to go write a blog post about something I'm struggling with in the midst of it. I don't think that's necessary for authentic leadership. But I do think it's important to be an authentic leader, to not be dishonest and claim something that that is true of your life when in fact it's not true of your life. That would be unauthentic. It would be disingenuous. And in fact, it would be a fundamental lack of integrity. So I think sometimes leaders do feel the need to expose everything, and they get themselves and their organizations in trouble. So I don't know if that's what you mean by disqualifying, but yes, I think you've got to have judgment. You've got to have discretion, which is a word that unfortunately has fallen out of our vocabulary, but you've got to be discreet in what you share. Just be authentic in it, be truthful in it, but be discreet in what you share. The next question comes from Chris Stevens.
Hey, Michael, this is Chris Stevens from Southern Indiana, and I'm going to be starting a job next year as a principal of a school, and I had a question about how do I approach that from the very beginning to try to make sure that people will see me as an authentic leader from the very get-go. Any tips or suggestions? Sure do appreciate it. My website is chrisstevenslive.com. Thanks for everything you do. Bye.
Chris, great question. I commend you for it, for thinking ahead. You're going to be taking on a new assignment, and you want to get off on the right foot. I would suggest that the most important work that any leader does is to lead themselves. You know, you are the prototype. People will replicate your behavior, your actions, even your mannerisms. So I think it's worth being intentional and thoughtful about that. What do you want to build into the organization? You know, what kind of teachers do you want in the organization? What kind of administrators do you want in the organization? Well, demonstrate that by your own life, by your own character. I think this is way more important than the experience that we have. It's more important than the skills that we have. It's more important than the last tips and techniques that we learned at a leadership seminar. Just modeling the behavior that we want in other people is so crucial. If you can't lead yourself, you can't lead anybody else. And so that's what I really focus on in my own life. Leading myself, as it turns out, is a full-time job. It ain't that easy. You know, I'm not that willing sometimes to follow the things that I espouse. So I really have to kick myself in the rear sometimes to get myself to do the things that I say are important and that matter most. So that's how I would prepare. I would just be very conscious about the example that you're setting. The next question from Donnie Vaughn. Donnie?
Michael, this is Donnie Vaughn calling from Keller, Texas. My website is marketingtwins.com. My question is related to leadership. You hear a lot about in sports about vocal leadership, players being vocal leaders and some being action leaders. Do you really believe there is a, you can have leadership qualities without being vocal? That's my question. Thanks.
Thanks, Donnie. In a word, no, because one of the things that leaders have to do is they have to be able to speak. They have to be able to create vision about the future that involves articulating what it is that we're after as a group. They have to be courageous and speak into situations where they might rather be retiring and silent, but they've got to speak up. So I do think, at least if I understand your question correctly, I do think that you have to be vocal to be a good leader. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be the most articulate person. It doesn't mean that you have to be a fabulous public speaker, though all those things help. But it does mean you've got to have the guts to speak up when it counts. And so, yes, you have to be vocal. I mean, it's very easy, and I've seen this time and time again in organizational life, where something is said that not everybody agrees with, but people, you know, go along to get along. They don't speak up. And then it sometimes goes in a disastrous direction. I mean, I'm sure that that's what happened at Enron and some of these other places where there were these giant ethical failures, is that people simply were unwilling to be vocal. So I think that's a critical aspect of leadership, and it's something that we all have to develop, even if we're uncomfortable initially. It does get more comfortable over time as you become courageous. The next question comes from Perry Holly. Perry?
Hi, Michael. My name is Perry Holly. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. I've never met anyone that said they didn't want to be an authentic leader, but a lot of people struggle with that. I wonder what you think are the maybe top two or three obstacles or things that get in our way that keep us from being, or undermine us from being, authentic leaders.
Thanks for your question, Perry. I don't know if I could come up with two or three, but I think I could come up with one that manifests itself in a lot of different ways. And if I had to identify that one obstacle to leadership, I would say fear. And understand what I mean by fear. You felt it. You know, it's that kind of feeling in the pit of your stomach. You're scared to take action. But real courage isn't the absence of fear. It's the willingness to act in spite of your fear. That's what courage looks like. But courage manifests itself in some funky kind of ways in organizational life, like the person who is, tries to pretend that they're perfect, like they've got it all figured out. Sometimes you work for somebody like that, or maybe you are that boss. You know, you're just unwilling to admit that you're still learning, that you don't have it figured out, and you solicit the advice of your colleagues and of your peers and even your subordinates. So fear is the number one thing that I think is an obstacle. Once we're willing to take a step over that line, that sort of invisible boundary, and be courageous, then all kinds of things become possible. But we've kind of got to look at fear in the eye and stare it down. And I often refer to this as doing the unspeakable. What is the thing that you're unwilling to do, at least have been unwilling to do until now, or unwilling to talk about until now? And what would it look like if you stepped up and were brave in that situation? But the truth is that the solution to your problems, the solution to the issues you're confronting as an organization, are outside of your comfort zone as a leader. Man, I wish that weren't true. I hate that. But I'll tell you what, every issue I faced when I was the CEO at Thomas Nelson forced me to have to step outside of my comfort zone. And it was tough. I had to meet with people that I wasn't comfortable meeting with. You know, I had to take actions that I wasn't comfortable taking. I had to speak up and draw a line in the sand occasionally on issues that, frankly, I would rather let pass. But that's just the nature of leadership. So I would say the number one obstacle is fear. If you can conquer fear, or at least manage it and get past it, anything becomes possible as a leader. The final question is from Randy Peterman. Randy?
Hi, Michael. This is Randy Peterman calling from Aurora, Colorado. And my question is regarding authentic leadership. And actually, it's about how do you be an authentic subordinate? Because I'm not a leader yet, but I'm really concerned about how you can authentically follow, given sometimes workplace politics. Thanks for your podcast. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Randy, that is such a fascinating question because it's kind of forcing me to do the reverse and think about it from the subordinate's perspective. But I kind of think it's a little bit of the answer that I just gave about the obstacle. I think it has to do with fear. Now, I've been a subordinate most of my career. You know, even when I was a CEO, a lot of people don't realize this, but you're still a subordinate. I had a board of directors to report to. I thought, you know, at one time, man, if I could be the CEO, you know, awesome. Everybody reports to me. I report to no one. Wrong. You know, I went from having one boss before I was the CEO to suddenly having seven bosses in the board of directors, all of whom had a different idea of what I should be doing. So, you know, that was not always easy to manage as a subordinate myself. But I would say again that fear was the most difficult aspect there. You know, you're constantly thinking, what will they think if I say this? How will they respond if I do this? And so you kind of got to get to the place where you're willing to say, you know what, I'm going to do the next right thing, regardless of the consequences. I'm not going to be belligerent. You know, I'm not going to grandstand. I'm not going to try to call attention to myself, but I am going to make those tough decisions and be authentic and true to what I know is right and what's right for the organization. And sometimes that does put you on the outs with your colleagues. And maybe it's not good workplace politics. But at the end of the day, I found that when you act with integrity, that ultimately that will be rewarded. And if it's not rewarded, find another place to work. Because you want to be in that situation. You don't want to be in a situation where, you know, you're constantly the victim of workplace politics or a boss that's unethical. You know, it's just not good for anybody. So thanks, guys, for your questions. Those were awesome. I do have a couple of announcements before I finish the podcast today. First of all, the platform book, as I've told you before, began shipping on April the 25th. The interviews are starting to roll in. It's a little bit of a scary time for me. It's exciting, but you never really know how a product launch is going to go until you actually launch and find out what the marketplace thinks. So far, so good. you know, I'm kind of holding my breath. I'm praying a lot and I'm working hard to make sure that it all comes off like I hope it will. But I want to encourage you, as I've done the last few weeks, don't order it yet. Next week is the launch week and you can order it then. I know this sounds like a strange request if you're hearing it for the first time, especially coming from the author, but there is a method in my madness, and here's what it is. The official publication date is next week, and so I want to focus all the sales I can into that first week of publication because we're trying to drive the bestseller list, and a lot of good things happen when you hit the bestseller list, like increased visibility to the media, book outlets that didn't order it previously do order it. So there's just more word of mouth that's generated when you hit the bestseller list, just like we use all kinds of bestseller lists in our life to filter what's important. But if you're willing to wait till next week, it's not that long. I'm prepared to reward you big time for waiting to order the book until then. So I've put together this special offer that includes 7 free bonuses worth $375.98. But to get the special bonus, you're going to need to buy the book between May the 21st and May the 25th. And I'm going to unveil the bonuses on May the 21st on my blog. So you can sign up to be notified at michaelhyatt.com/platform. So go to that link, sign up. I'll notify you on May the 21st, and then we'll open the floodgates and it'll all start happening then. Second announcement is Blog World and New Media Expo in New York City on June the 5th through the 7th. Man, if you've ever thought about coming to Blog World, come to this one. I've never been, but I have really, really wanted to go. I'm excited about hearing from other bloggers, other podcasters, and learning what I can learn. But I'm going to be speaking at one of the super sessions on Thursday morning, June the 7th at 9 a.m. I'd love to see you. I'd love to shake your hand, sign a book if you want to get one then. But I'm going to be speaking on the topic of platform, get noticed in a noisy world, big surprise. But I'm having to apply this in a new way to my podcast. This feels like starting my blog for the first time or starting speaking for the first time. You know, it's 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. I'm trying to figure it out as I go, but the experience is really fresh and I'm having to take my own medicine. You can register for it at michaelhyatt.com/blogworld. So that's a link that will take you to the Blog World and New Media Expo page so you can register. The third announcement is the SCORE Conference. We're going to be holding the next SCORE Conference in Vail, Colorado, October 17 through 20, 20 through 12. We've just started promoting it. It's going to sell out. I'll guarantee you we've got a number of tickets. I think we're about 40% sold now. So if you've ever wanted to come to SCORE, if you've ever wanted to take your speaking to the next level, this is bar none, and I have a vested interest, admittedly, but this is bar none the best speaking preparation tool I've ever seen. It'll tell you how to prepare with more clarity, deliver more dynamically, and really have an impact on your audience. So this is a chance to grab your ticket before they're gone. So you can go to scoreconference.com and find out more about it then. Well, that's it for this episode of This Is Your Life. In the next episode, we're going to talk about platform. It's going to be launch week after all, and I'm mostly going to just take your questions. So if you've got a question about what it is to build a platform, what it is to get noticed in a noisy world, I don't care if you're an author, a speaker, a musician, an entertainer, a politician, you own a small business and you're trying to get attention for your business, or you're a corporate executive and just trying to figure out the whole social media thing, you can leave a voicemail for me at michaelhyatt.com/podcast question. And I've got a live link in the show notes if you want to click over there, but michaelhyatt.com/podcast question. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to it at michaelhyatt.com/thisisyourlife. That way you won't miss a single episode. I'd really also be grateful if you'd rate my podcast on iTunes. That helps tremendously with keeping my podcast visible so people who have never heard of it can discover it. And if you'd like to comment on this episode, please go to michaelhyatt.com. Go to the show notes for this episode and scroll down to the comment section. I'd love to hear from you, whether it's a comment or a question. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? This is your life. Are you who you want to be?